Hi, thanks again for checking out Northern Transmissions. This week's episode features Scott Hansen, a.k.a. Tycho. We chatted a little bit about Tycho's live show as he creates all the visuals for them. And what's his inspiration behind it all?
You've done a lot of new visuals and lighting for your live shows. How involved are you in that aspect?
I do everything, all the visuals and all that stuff. So for this one, I used to use like found footage and kind of composite it together and affect it and do all that stuff. But this time I found director Charles Bergquist. So I basically kind of storyboarded some scenarios for him, and he went out and shot a lot of stuff in like ultra slow motion, like 20 or high speed film, you know, like 20,000 frames per second stuff. And he's still actually shooting stuff right now. But basically, I've been taking his stuff and putting it into Premiere and VDMX and After Effects and creating. Basically, I treat the visuals as the lighting. So, you know, when it goes dark, it's just because there's no visuals, and the visuals like the colors and the flashing and all that stuff's kind of synced up. And then just recently, I added a LED array on the floor. You can't really see them, but they just kind of glow, because I realized like the missing part was kind of, at times I wanted to be able to contrast the visuals with actual lighting and like light up the equipment and light up the wow. light up us up there. So yeah, it's been nice to be able to have those two. Because, you know, before it was just pure visuals. We stood in front of the screen. The visuals hit us. We kind of became like silhouettes, but the visuals are also on us. So now we're able to like turn the lights on in front of us, and then you can see us. And you can go back and forth. So it's kind of cool.
And you created this whole thing. This is all brand new for the Album Leaf tour, right? That you're going on.
Album Leaf will be the first time we've rolled out the full vision for it, I guess. So the way that I envisioned it originally, there was quite a bit of in between choreography and intros and outros, and you know, the visuals would. It's not like a song just ended and the visuals ended, but due to time and technical limitations, that's how it's been up till now. So basically, people have been seeing kind of like half the visuals and half the kind of choreography stuff. So this one, I'm hoping in this next few weeks, I'm going to be able to finally complete that last portion of the work on that.
That's exciting. And obviously, you draw like lots of inspiration, I mean, from visuals and your music, and not only like in a live setting, but the singles like you've released all have interesting art on them. Are you involved with that?
Yeah, I do all the graphic design, and you know, any visual thing you're seeing, I do, because I basically see this project as an audio visual project. I was a graphic designer for I still am, but you know, like I was just purely a graphic designer for many years, and music was just kind of like if and when I had time, I did it on the side. That's kind of why it took me so long to get this album out. Now I see Tycho and ISO 50, which is the name of what I used to kind of go under for design. It's kind of become the same thing, and I want, that's what the live show is all about, is showing, you know, representing it properly with like the visuals and the music and having it all come together. And then the album artwork is just kind of like setting the, you know, I always want to set the tone for the kind of physical space that I'd imagine that music occupies, you know. So it's kind of just like hinting at that, I guess, is what you'd say for most of the graphic design side of things.
Hi, I hope you're enjoying our interview with Tycho. I am Charles Brownstein, as always. If you'd like more information about Tycho, you can check out his Facebook page, or you can check him out on SoundCloud for tour dates and all that lovely stuff. If you'd like information about our show, you can go to www.northerntransmissions.com. You can email us there, and we're also on Twitter at Northern Trans. By the way, we just heard the song Hours off the 2012 release Dive, which is available on Ghostly International.
Are you surprised at the popularity of ambient music today?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing how far people have come in terms of, like, more, you know, larger audiences being open to what used to be really niche music, you know, like stuff that didn't really get outside really small circles. So, yeah, it's hard to say, like, but, I mean, I think dance music in general, how it's kind of come to the forefront as far as pop, you know, basically pop music now is electronic music. That's just how it is. And so, I mean, I think there's been a trickle-down effect with that, with people recognizing that sound and that style. You know, there's definitely, you know, pop music is a whole other world than what a lot of us are doing kind of in the ambient spectrum. But there is some crossover, and I think people's, you know, ears and just their tastes have become attuned to those sounds, and I think it sparks them, and maybe some of them to dig deeper, and that's when they find stuff like I'm doing, or you know, all these other, you know, Calm Trues or Boards in Canada or Schnauss, all these people doing that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a result of electronic music in general becoming much more mainstream. You know?
Do you find that, like, the music you make, is it tough at times to translate it live or to play it live? I mean, it's pretty, you know, a lot of the technology I think you work with, it's pretty advanced, and reproducing it in a live setting, do you find that tough at times? Because, I mean, you know, we didn't see a lot of that stuff, like shows, ambient shows and dancey shows, I guess, probably till the mid-90s.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yes, I mean, of course, it was definitely a challenge, but, you know, a lot of the recording techniques that I use and a lot of the instrumentation I use is actually pretty straightforward, you know, using just electric bass and Rhodes pianos for bass and using a lot of guitar parts and a lot of synth parts. And, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say, you know, I hear some people's music and I realize, like, you know, this goes beyond, they've taken engineering and made that an art form, you know, so it's like they're creating these sounds that, like, you basically could only create in the studio. But I mean, if you listen to most of my stuff, it's really pretty straightforward instrumentation, so it wasn't that tough. The main thing is just getting, because I, you know, I think a big part of my work is about, it's not necessarily just about the notes and the arrangement, but it's also a lot about, you know, exactly how it sounds, the timbre of things and the effects and all that stuff. So yeah, getting the effects to come off the way they do on the album in a live setting was a challenge, but at a certain point I decided to just kind of let go and say the album is the album, and when you come to the show you're going to hear that song in a different context, and I think that's actually a good thing, because they can hear the album at home and then you can come to the show and experience it a different way, and so I was able to kind of let go of the idea that, like, it has to sound exactly like the album.
Thank you.
And what type of musical background did you come from? Like, did you play like natural instruments when you were younger? Or, I mean, what did you gravitate towards?
I actually never played an instrument or even touched an instrument until I was about 22 or so. I just happened upon a drum machine, and I was really into drum and bass at the time. So I decided, like, to just figure out how they had made those sounds. And then I helped me to get a sampler and a keyboard, and I kind of just, went from there. But basically, the first instrument I picked up was a keyboard around that time. And then probably, like, 6 years ago, I started, I got a guitar. I started learning that just because, like, I kind of wanted to expand. Because, you know, you get into these kind of patterns and ruts with keyboards, for me at least, because visually I just see the same patterns. So the guitar was cool because it started forcing me to, like, write in a different way. And experimentally, I just end up finding, you know, different patterns and different melodies that I probably would have found if I was on the keyboard. So it all kind of came together about 6 years ago is when I really started feeling like a musician instead of just maybe a producer or something.
Were you into, like, that music when you were really younger? That music, I mean, I should say, like, ambient or crowd rock stuff. What type of stuff did you enjoy as a kid listening to?
No, I mean, like, I didn't become aware of those words and those genres until after I'd been making that music and people started saying, oh, that's like Brian Eno, or that's like, this name your crowd rock band, whatever, you know, that sounds like this. And then I started looking into that stuff later. I think basically it was like I had been influenced by that music, obviously, but through some intermediary, you know, I heard AJ Shadow's album. And so I picked up on what he was picking up on from them or whatever, you know. But, like, when I was a kid, I just listened to mostly, like, rock and metal and stuff. And then didn't get into electronics until college. I started listening to, like, Ronnie Size and DJ Shadow and Elton J. Fuck and all that stuff.
I know you have sometimes other artists remix. Are you hands-on on that? Pretty hands-on? Or do you want to give a lot of input? Or do you just say, like, here you go, can you remix this for me?
Any artist that we work with, you know, that the label and I work with on in that capacity, you know, we already have a lot of respect for them. So, I think the point of a remix for me, at least, isn't to, like, just present the song in a new way. Like, oh, here's the dance version of it, or here's the whatever version of it. It's more just like I just want to hear their interpretation. You know, what when they take that song and they start messing around and they start experimenting, like, what comes out of that. And that's usually the most interesting thing, is to just let people go. And but yeah, we there's zero input. It's just basically like, here's the track, and then whatever we get back is what we go with. You know.
Thanks for listening to our interview with Tycho on Northern Transmissions. If you'd like more information about the artist, you can check out his Facebook page, or you can check out SoundCloud, where you can find stuff about touring, remixes, and all that exciting stuff. If you'd like a bit more info about Northern Transmissions, please visit our website at www.northerntransmissions.com or follow us on Twitter at Northern Trans. Thanks very much to Tycho for doing the interview, and thanks very much to Spencer Carson for the great job as usual. And let's listen to the title track off the new album, Dive, remixed by Keep Shelley in Athens. I'm Charles Brownstein, and I'll see you all later.